Well, welcome, church. It's wonderful that you would allow me to come into your environment this morning. The last I looked, there was about 140 units that were viewing at this time, and we say thank you for taking time on this Palm Sunday and reaching out and allowing God to work in your hearts. I appreciate so much Paul and Janelle and their spirit in the wonderful words that they have shared with us today in song and music. And I trust that you have entered in and you've worshiped the Lord and your heart is prepared for what God would have for you this morning. For many, this has been another difficult week, another challenging week. There's, of course, ripple effects that we are all experiencing from the coronavirus. This week has been so serious that I think many people forgot about that April Fool's Day. Not too many jokes played, not too many calls or incidents or riddles that were shared. You see, more than 1 million cases of the coronavirus is worldwide and over 64,000 deaths worldwide. And right here in the United States, 300,000 cases, 8,500 deaths. 3,500 of those deaths are found in New York City alone. We continue to hear the cries of the importance of social distancing. And now we have the recommendation of wearing a mask. Masks that are difficult to find right now. Matter of fact, I brought in my mask. It's just an old mask from my shop where I would work in a dusty environment, and this has fallen apart, and I have stapled it together, and I was going to wear it today, but I figured that would be a great distraction. So people are being creative, and as last week I shared with you a little humor in the midst of this world. You see, you can't buy a mask, they're hard to find, but people are going to putting bags over their heads when they go to a store to shop. Others are covering themselves completely with trash bags, put it over their hair, their face, over their jacket. And then the one that I like the best is pretty creative. Just buy a sponge and put a rubber band around your head and put the sponge over your mouth. Because this being Palm Sunday, we're preparing now for Easter. And I understand that for those of you that are worried about your Easter outfits this year, that there's an Easter dress code online, especially for you ladies, and the nice colors of the house coats and the online dress up that I share with you this morning. Today is Palm Sunday, and Pastor Dick mentioned to you the importance of this day on the Christian calendar. This is the last Sunday of Lent, and it's the beginning of Holy Week. Jesus entered into Jerusalem. The account is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 9, and he enters into Jerusalem. And then as the week goes on, he is found in the garden, and he is arrested. The palms on Palm Sunday signify victory. A palm signifies triumph, peace, and eternal life. And today we prepare for a week, a holy week, and we have special services. As Pastor Nick mentioned, on Friday we'll be taking communion together. On next Sunday, our Easter Sunday service, the theme is In Times Like These. We are going to have a special emphasis on singing, a special emphasis on hymns with the scriptural context of what has taken place. I've asked John Ashcroft to join us next Sunday, and John has blessed us so many times in leading us in hymns and songs, and we will be doing that in our service. All four or five or six of us will be doing that without you as a congregation. But we trust that you'll tell your friends and you'll prepare your hearts for a great Easter time together. This is a time of the unknown. It was just a few months ago I was introduced to the time of the unknown by my granddaughter, Ella. You see, Ella, she knows all about the movie Frozen. Frozen 2, there is a song that is sung, and the title of it is concerning a journey into the unknown. And here we are just a few weeks later, and little did I know that I would be in the world of the unknown. That for every one of us, it's a reality now that there are so many uncertainties that we don't know which direction to turn. And so today, our journey to the cross is going to take us into the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. And when you go into the 11th chapter of Numbers, you find that Moses is leading those hundreds of thousands descendants as they leave Egypt and they walk their way across the wilderness. They have left the plagues of that land. They have left the negative drama of that land. They have left the catastrophes of that land, and now they are walking across a wilderness. They are walking across the unknown. They are faced with the unknown as they enter this journey. Just a couple months ago, I had the privilege of taking my family on our traditional family vacation between Christmas and New Year's. This year, we went to Arizona. We went to Arizona and we visited Phoenix area and Tucson and went to the Grand Canyon and up through Sedona. My wife spent a great part of her life in Phoenix. That's where she went to high school, she went to nursing school, that's where she attended church, and from there she came and she took part in the Revival Time Choir and eventually moved to Springfield and then went to Central Bible College to study and then on to Evangel University to receive another degree. But the thing that she loves to talk about is the desert. You see, Arizona is filled with desert, and the precipitation is less than 10 inches a year. And so the desert is dry. There's hardly little growth there. Beautiful cactus. The largest hot desert in the world is the Sahara Desert, and that is in northern Africa, and actually covers 3.5 million miles by comparison to the Mojave Desert, which covers 54,000 square miles. And by comparison, I share with you another location that I have visited several times, and that's the Sinai Wilderness, which is part desert. It's approximately 25,000 square miles. And the northern Sinai Desert plateaued, bordered by the Mediterranean Sea. And the southern Sinai Desert is mountainous, and it's bordered by the Red Sea. And also it is the landscape where the children of Israel walked and walked and walked in the unknown, the wilderness. The unknown is like a desert, and some of us are going through a desert right now. Some of us have fear. There's others that do not like being out of control. And so we know that the desert is a place where the greatest danger is a lack of preparation. In the wilderness or the desert or the place of the unknown, one of the greatest dangers is that of panic. There's a small book out, and it's called Desert Survival Skills. And the book is authored by David Holloway. And David says, when you find yourself in a desert, when you find yourself in unknown territory, in uncharted waters, there's some simple things that we must do. First of all, is to accept the situation without blaming yourself and without blaming anyone else. The situation that we're going through today, it's easy for us to try to blame other people. It's easy for us to try to think, if I would have done this different or if I would have done that different. We put the blame on maybe hospitals, maybe on our commissioners, maybe on the President of the United States, on other leaders. Why is this happening? And as a result, you end up yelling at your spouse, you end up yelling at the kids, you end up just having an unhappy day. The second thing that the author tells us is that he simply says, start a fire. Well, maybe you feel like burning some things up, but what he is saying is just get comfortable. Take time and chill out. Brew a cup of coffee. Don't be overcome by fear and the consequences of what has taken place. He says, when you're caught in the unknown in the desert, consider your options. Well, right now, we don't have too many options. We have social distancing. We have a ordinance which says stay at home, or a suggestion or a policy which may even become more rigid. Fourth thing he says is to decide on a plan and execute your plan. Our plan is to follow guidelines, to do the best that we can to love our neighbors and follow the guidelines that have been given us. And then the fifth thing he says is develop your survival skills that are necessary for making it through the desert times in our lives. In other words, stay away from big crowds, wash your hands, wear a mask when it's necessary, and stay 6 to 10 feet away from other people, and most of all, pray. So this morning, what I want you to do is to take that desert experience and take the unknown as a metaphor for this time, this season in our life as we face coronavirus quarantine. Let's think of how we should respond spiritually and what God may be saying to us in our confusion. Perhaps what God may be saying to you as you feel somewhat a lack of faith developing within you, and you're questioning and wonder, where are you, God, during this time? And I think that we're all learning that when we journey through the spiritual unknown, we do have to have spiritual survival skills and understand this experience and this opportunity as a time of growing in our faith, a time of developing a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, quickly, I want us to learn from Moses. I want us to look at the life of Moses and see how he survived spiritually in the land of the unknown. See how he survived in some tips that we can receive from his conduct as a leader and also as he instructed the people. The first survival skill that I see acted out in the life of Moses is that of being grateful. In other words, stop complaining. Stop comparing today with the past and become grateful. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, verses 4 through 6, the scripture says, the ramble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and they said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna, the manna that God provided for them. You see, they were saying, man, if we could only eat at a restaurant, if we could get out of this kitchen, this chuck wagon, if we could only go to the YMCA, if we could just go and talk to our banker, if we could go to work, or if we could just go to school, I want to see my teachers. I want to see my friends. If we could just go on a trip, I'd love to see the grandkids. You see, these complainers in our text, they were the uncivil people. They were the ones that were handling themselves disorderly. They were very vocal as a minority, but you know that that minority can influence and ultimately control the majority. And everyone began to complain. We should have done this. We should have done that. These leaders, they're just not doing their job. Why are we roaming around here? This is terrible. I want to remind you that complaining can lead us into a downward spiral. You see, we start focusing on the negative. And by the way, social media is great and the news is great, but it can be a platform for a downward spiral in our lives if we're not careful. It can be a platform of taking the turn to the negative. And if it's doing it to you, then don't watch it. Just watch the press conferences at the end of the day to get your information. We start to focus on the negative when we go into a downward spiral, and then we fall into despair, and then we fail to thrive, and basically we die. And during the wilderness virus that Moses was facing, and the people became so caught up in their complaining that they considered slavery and they considered death over eating the manna that God was giving them. And keep in mind, as bad as it was, they were living and they were doing pretty well eating this manna, but they were wishing if we could just have some pizza. They were wishing for something different. Numbers, the 14th chapter, verses 2 and 3 said, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt. On this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to lead us to fall by a sword? That's pretty negative. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? When I took one of my first positions in pastoral ministry, it was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I learned that no one goes to Green Bay, Wisconsin unless they're a Packer fan or they want to go up and see the field or the museum. And it's a journey to Green Bay. You leave Chicago and you head north and you come to Racine and you get into Wisconsin. And I always knew when I was getting close to Green Bay, because as I traveled on Highway 41, I knew I was getting close because there was a factory right along the side of the highway. It was called Mercury Marine Factory. It was quite impressive. It was a very long building, and it seemed to be just a few feet away from the highway. And when we would pass that factory, I knew I was in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, not too far from Green Bay. I learned that in 1947, that this particular factory, they were paying their workers in 1947 a union scale of $20 per hour plus benefits. That's a very good wage, especially for 1947. Well, Mercury Marine also had a plant in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they told the union that they would have to make some serious adjustments. We like it here, but the wages are way too high, and we're going to take our operation from Fond du Lac to Tulsa, a state that was not controlled by the union, lower wages, and there was a plentiful workforce there. Well, part of the deal was that the wages would be frozen, or they would freeze at the marina if they were to stay there. And the $20 per hour, people would only make $20 per hour for 7 more years, and new people would start at $13 an hour. Well, the union wanted nothing to do with that, and they said, there's no way that this is going to happen. So they took a vote, and Mercury Marine said, you got to take this or leave it. They took a vote, said, no, we're not taking it. And so therefore, the start of a move was taking place. Mercury said, we'll be out of here within 2 years and moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, when the union workers went home and they told their families about this, and when they started thinking about it, and the town started thinking about losing 850 families, they demanded to take another vote. And then another vote took place, and the workers said, yes, we will work for $20 an hour for the next 7 years. We will allow new workers to come in at $13 an hour. We'll stay where we are at. You see, they figured out this take it or leave it deal was having work was better than having no job. And it occurred to them that maybe the manna wasn't so bad. Maybe a diet of crusty bread was better than no food at all. And I tell you this story, church, because gratitude is the vaccine or the antitoxin against grumbling, against complaining, and against criticizing. We as Christians, may we have an attitude of gratitude. When you find yourself in the grips of the unknown and you're tempted to slip into negativism and grumbling and complaining, stop it. When you watch the news and you learn all of these new things and what's happening elsewhere and you become fearful, stop it. You see, a grateful spirit is something that we should be nurturing in our hearts as Christians by focusing on what God is doing and what God is going to do. He is the master, and we must take time and thank him. So the first survival skill that I see with Moses is to stop whining and become grateful. The second thing I see is that of seeking God's direction, looking for direction. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, we find it there in verses 10, 11, and 14. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, and Moses was troubled. And then the 11th verse said, he asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you, God? In the 14th verse, I cannot carry these people by myself. The burden is way too heavy for me. Someone has suggested that the only reason why the children of Israel roamed around is because they failed to ask directions. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. And some originally said that the coronavirus is something we should just let alone. Let's just let it ride out. And it is commonly understood that men sometimes are reluctant when it comes to asking directions. And I assume that maybe that has something to do with pride. And there may be other reasons. And I don't know if Moses was such a guy as that, but we know that eventually Moses went to the Lord. And Moses came to realize that he's over his head in this. He needs God's help. And so he seeks directions. Are you sometimes feeling like we're over our head? We don't know which way to turn, but we must turn our hearts to God, because when we're confronted with a season that taxes us to the point of stress, and we cannot navigate through the burden, we cannot carry it, or we feel like we're out of control, the wisest thing for us to do is turn our hearts to God. And I pray that our leaders will do that. I pray that this world will do that. I pray that every life that's being touched by the coronavirus, that their hearts will turn to God. If we cannot get from point A to point B because we're confused or we're afraid or we have fear or we're frustrated, we must turn to God. If there seems to be great obstacles ahead of us, which we are told that this coronavirus effect can go on for months, we must turn to God. Let me tell you another travel story. We go through Green Bay and you head north and you go up into Michigan and you come to the upper peninsula of Michigan. And when you want to go to the lower peninsula of Michigan, you have to cross a bridge. The bridge is called the Mackinac Bridge. Mackinac Island is right there. The Mackinac Bridge is a suspension bridge that spans the lower, it connects the upper and the lower peninsula of Michigan. It was opened in 1957. This bridge is 26,373 feet long. It takes 90 minutes to 2 hours to walk across this bridge. It is said that two cars have gone off this bridge. I don't know that story, but I know that one of them was a Yugo. The height of the bridge is 552 feet high. The clearance below the bridge is 155 feet, and the daily traffic on this bridge is 11,600 cars or vehicles a day. And you know, when people are preparing to travel this bridge, they become so frightened. They become so fearful. Their whole trip, their whole vacation, we have to cross this bridge, that they're afraid to drive their vehicle across it. And so every year, Michigan's Timid Motorist Program assists hundreds of drivers across this 5-mile-long Mackinac Bridge. The drivers are so afraid of height or the distance, they can't drive their own vehicles. And that's true for motorcyclists as well. They have a program where they'll trailer your motorcycle across this bridge. The bridge right now, the assist program is shut down because of the coronavirus. So if you're afraid of bridges, don't go this way. But church, I tell you this story because we are looking at a very long, a very high bridge, so to speak. It is predicted that this virus can go on for some time. And when Moses realized that he didn't have the wisdom and the strength to carry the burden of getting the unhappy people, these travelers of the unknown, to the promised land, he cries out to God. He says, did I conceive all these people in Numbers 11, verses 12 through 14? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant? To the land you promised on oath to their ancestors. Where can I get meat for all of these people? They keep wailing to me, give us the meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is way too heavy for me. If you're looking for a lighter burden, turn your hearts to God. We are learning that the unknown can be a place of desperation. The unknown can be a place of the desert. And Moses did what he was very, very smart in doing. He contacts God and he draws from the strength of God. So the story tells us here, when you find yourself in the unknown, nearing a meltdown, begin by asking God to help you. Begin by going to the Lord. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse number 31, those who have hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and they will not faint. Thank God for the power that he has for each one of us. First survival skill is that of being grateful. The second is ask for help. And then the third is, when you're in that unknown area of your life, turn to God. Turn to him. And as a result, you will grow in the Lord and you will develop a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. As we walk with him daily, as we follow him daily, he will see us through the unknown. You see, God is able to meet our needs. He is there for us. The secret of strength is acknowledging our own weaknesses. The secret of strength is to look to the Lord. When Moses looked to the Lord in Numbers, the 11th chapter, in verse number 23, the Lord says, is the Lord's arm too short? You will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. God is our protector. So in these tough times, in these battles, let us look to the Lord. Remember what I told you a week ago. In just a short time, God has allowed, as he did with the plague of Egypt and the many conflicts that they had, God has taken away everything that we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'm going to shut the stadiums down. He said, you want to worship musicians? I'll shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down the theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy and I will collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you cannot go to church. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for this day, and we come to you, Lord, and we repent before you. God, we pray, Father, that you would help us when we get so caught up in the anxiety, in the moments of this life, that we miss an opportunity to grow in you. We miss the opportunity of seeking your face and receiving your direction. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we relinquish control of our life that may be there by fear, and may we look to you and remain conscious of your steadfast love. Help us as we reach out to others. And God, we believe in you. We thank you for what you offer us in these moments of the unknown. You are a great God. You are a good God. And we praise you for your love and kindness. Amen. Amen. Church, I would like to say to you in my closing remark and share with you the blessing that Moses shared with the people in Israel as they traveled that wilderness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.